Blog Talk Radio.
The J-King Network, where the people come together. The J-King Network, where the people come together.
The J-King Network, where the people come together.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jay King. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. With me are my co-hosts. One love, you're lucky if you had just one love.
One love, you're lucky just to have just one. Love yourself.
That's Yusef Kente, y'all. Johnny, Graham, Cracker, David.
Good morning, the Kings. Nice being here.
Cindy Braxton.
Good morning, all you awesome wonders out there. And welcome to the Kings in the Morning this morning. And we're glad you're here. You can catch a venereal disease as nasty as wet popcorn, but you can't catch no feelings on this show. So please leave your feelings at the door. That being said, stuff them down, roll them up, and tuck them in. You're going to need all three. Caffeine, nicotine, and adrenaline. Go ahead, Mr. King, and do your thing. Ladies and gentlemen, on this Wednesday, October 27th, 2021, you're riding with the Kings.
Good morning, Josephine. Reese on the radio.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Wow, I don't even get the Reese on the radio medley anymore. Okay.
Surprised that you're here. I said Reese on the radio.
It's my day off. I've been incredibly busy. But listen, I have got the headline to beat all headlines about the sad news that I know Jay King is going to share today. So I hope today's unpopular opinion will make everybody smile.
Brother Reverend Ali.
Wrong theme song, Jay, mute you. Sing a little song, Jay, mute you. Jay mutes me with brutality. So come on and call and see. So you can see. Oh, Jay mutes me. Jay mutes me. Jay mutes me. I'll tell you, Jay mutes me. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good morning, everybody. And the headline that Bravo, Ali sounds like he's back to feeling well. Good morning, Rowena.
My bad, King. It was a short notice. I couldn't find the other jingle song, and I didn't know what else to write, so I just hurried up and did it. My bad, brother. But I got it great next time.
Valphine said, Ali still got his dick up his yellow ass with me. I don't know what that's
I ain't even talked to Valcine since the last time she called the show. Valcine, smoke another cigarette, okay? And put the patch on your mouth.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Andy, over in the UK. Jelena says, your program with Isaac was most interesting and informative. It did, however, cause more questions and concerns. Well, but you got to know when you're listening to those kinds of programs, Jelena, is anytime a guy favors something, he's going to go towards what he favors. So you can't concern yourself with that. You got to take the information that you can that you resonate with, and run with it. And the things that concern you, do a little more research, and you'll find out that everybody, you know, whenever somebody's selling something, they got, you know, they're selling their wares because they're promoting who they are, what they do, and all that stuff. So you you got to know that. And yesterday, Johnny Davis sent me a text that broke my heart. And he said that Jeffrey, who you guys know from the show, from Call Again, cussing us out sometimes laughing, wanting to do the history moment, wanting to open up a black chamber in Spokane, Washington, wanting to do a reggae show, Jeffrey has passed away. He died. Johnny Davis, you want to give us some of the details of what took place? You know, I believe he had COPD.
His COPD caught up with him. He couldn't breathe. I guess he died trying to give himself a treatment. His son found him about 4 o'clock in the morning. So that's about it. We're working on all kind of stuff here for him. So,
what kind of stuff are you guys working on for him?
Right now, we're trying to get his daughter here, and then they're going to cremate him, and then we're going to see what kind of memorial we're going to give.
All
that's in the making right now.
Well, and for him, I'm going to play a song that I think he would appreciate. Good morning, Reggie Johnson. Good morning, cuz. I see you. I just had to give him an Exodus. You know, I can't play that music because they block out the broadcast for that. But I just wanted to play Exodus because he made his Exodus. Before we do the daily word and word of the day, who's doing the word of the day, by the way? Is that you today, Kente, or is that you, Ali?
It's Simi's turn.
Oh, Simi.
Nah,
Simi,
man.
Do you have the word of the day? You
I
ready
don't.
For the word of the day today? Huh?
Nah. I'm not.
Do you guys want me to do the word of the day again? Do you guys want me to do the word of the day as Professor Keone?
I'll do it, Jay. I'll do it.
Okay, because I can't do the word. Good morning, DK.
I was gonna come up with a word to do it for word of the day, but that's okay.
So let So let me do this right here. If everybody, before we do the daily word and the word of the day, if you guys want to kind of give a little eulogy, if you will, on Jeffrey, what you thought about him. I'm going to start with you, Ali, since I know you love Jeffrey so much.
Yeah, man, when you said that, you know, I have been feeling something for him the last couple of weeks anyway, because last time he called, you know, it didn't sound too good, man. So I just want to say, hey, Jeffrey, man, I love you, man. I know you out there in the spirit. Your meat suit is gone, but you're still here, man. And please come visit me in the spirit, my great brother. I love you, man. God bless you, Jeffrey.
Simi Braxton. Simi Braxton. Hello?
I was on mute. I'm sorry. I was on mute. Rest in peace, brother. He was a good spirit. Good spirit to have. Gonna miss him.
Reese on the radio.
Yes, and I'd like to say a couple of words. Everybody knew that Jeffrey and I always had our tete-a-tete. We always pretty good went back and forth, and it made for good radio on Kings in the Morning. Jeffrey was a good adversary. He actually made me better. He made me funny, and he was funny as well. And on the last parts of his life, Jeffrey saw that I was truly concerned about his weight and about his health. We spoke about it on several other shows. I believe even the Real and Raw show, we talked about, you know, him and mental fitness and why people were caring about him and stuff like that. And I really started to grow a little bit of a liking towards Jeffrey. So I thought about things that I was going to say about him after I found out about his passing last night. And I figured I would say something fitting for Jeffrey and I and our arguments and our fights. And as a funny, I would say that it should read on Jeffrey's obituary, Jeffrey beats Reese on the radio to death, because I believe he'd appreciate that joke. As a double entendre. Rest in peace, Jeffrey. We'll miss you.
Johnny Davis.
Well, Jeffrey was a good friend over 30 years. I'm going to miss him. And he don't want y'all to be sad. He wants y'all to keep it moving. So. That's pretty much it.
So, Jeffrey was interesting to me from the first time he came on the show. Because I knew he had more years behind him than he did in front of him. I knew Jeffrey was sick because this meat suit, it's an interesting contraption. You know, you can't really replace shit in it. You know, you can jimmy rig it, but you can't really replace nothing in it. And it's built to wear out. It ain't going to last. What I dug about Jeffrey is he knew it. He knew the meat suit was on his last leg. And he chose to spend his time in his meat suit on his last leg on Kings in the Morning. And sometimes Jeffrey will be the deliverer of some funny shit. And sometimes some funny shit will be delivered onto him. All in all, we got the ride with Jeff and all his shenanigans. From the time he ran down throughout the neighborhood with his drawers on, to the time he was going to fuck Reese up.
That's
and
right.
Every time he So, thank you, Jeffrey. We have been blessed, you all. I don't know if you guys realize how blessed we've been to have some incredible personalities grace our airways, Ron Newt. I don't know if you guys remember the time when he was going to fuck up Willie James, because he said Willie James didn't know him like that. Ron Newt went full gangster on him. Bubba Hamp. Bubba Hamp, who worked with Sly and the Family Stone, and Bub came on Kings in the Morning and was a wonderful guest and colorful. FMB, who brought who was responsible for getting Terrence Howard, the fake Terrence Howard, here. FMB died. We've had some incredible people. Of course, BLW, who threw us under the bus when Terrence Howard came. We've had some incredible people that have graced the microphone on Kings in the Morning.
DP.
And, you know, and even The Ruiner, Donald Grammer. So along with Jeffrey, a good friend of mine, William Shelby from Lakeside, passed away as well yesterday. Well, they found him yesterday. And Ruben Rodriguez, who was a very well-known music executive who worked radio.
Wow, Ruben
he
passed,
also
huh?
passed away. Yeah, Ruben, they found him in his sleep. His maid actually found him in the bed asleep. So one thing I do know about the life ride, no matter how long you think it is, it's very short. It don't last long. Whether you're adding up seconds, minutes, hours, days, years, it's a very slow movement when you're young, but it's a very quick movement when you're old. And I don't know how that happens. I don't know how it happens when a day is so long when you're in school, but so short when you're over 50. Damn, damn, damn. Today's daily word is SOAR. S-O-A-R, SOAR. I rise above limitation and soar to new heights. I watch a hawk ride the thermals, its wings spread wide and floating with ease on the air currents as it soars across the sky. I admire this majestic expression of its divine nature. I, too, have the power to soar as I live from my divine nature. I feel my inner power. I spread my spiritual wings and ascend to new heights of confidence and self-worth. I have the innate ability to do what I need to do when I need to do it, bolstered by my inner wisdom and power. I rise above thoughts of limitation. I greet change with grace. I face any challenge with faith and calmness. I accomplish my goals buoyed by my spiritual identity. Anytime I need a reminder of my spiritual strength and capacities, I recall the hawk and remember, I have the power to soar to new perspectives. Today's Bible verse is Psalms 139:8. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. Brother Reverend Ali, what is the word of the day?
OG, the word of the day is chubby. C-H-U-B-B-Y. Chubby. It means plumped and rounded. And let me use this in a sentence for you, J. King. Professor Keone's head
gets chubby when he puts on his canary yellow helmet. Chubby.
King, it's me. It's the professor. I would also like to use the word chubby in a sentence. Whenever the retard Rev Ali sees me, I excite him and he gets a chubby.
I was trying to break the ice because we got sad with Jeffrey, and I know he wanted us to be lifted up.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, South Bay Workforce Development Board is the chamber's partner for DVE. Can you email the South Bay IF to Robert? Robert is also going to send the chamber the information about being a sponsor. Let me send this over to Angie.
What happened? Where's Kente? Because that was Jeffrey's buddy.
Yeah, man. Kente.
He hung up?
Yeah, I think he might be a little beat down.
Mm.
Maybe Kente. Maybe he went to go hit a joint for him or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's probably what happened. Yeah. He had a moment of silence. He needed to get off the phone and go blow one. Maybe he'll call back after he blows it.
Or maybe he just, kind of, lazy, and he just wanted to blow one for himself and just trying to pretend. Sometimes people take some shit.
They be using other people for excuses for their own needs.
Yeah.
I need to smoke a joint.
I had a friend of mine call me the other day.
Rowena said, that's me. I'm a chubby eagle. You wrong for that. Messed up my self-description. that was Ali. I didn't do that. Pearl Johnson said, good morning, Jay. Although I wear a million hats, as a strong supporter of Black Business and Move, I try to support your show and listen in every morning. I really look up to you as a community leader. And although you can be funny as heck, I really, for the most part, appreciate you and your show topics for the community. Thank you. She said, for the most part. Basically, she's saying, every now and then, you motherfuckers say some shit I don't like. Good morning, Levi.
Good morning. How's everybody?
All right.
Good morning,
good.
Levi. Long time.
I was sitting there trying to get me a contact high.
He's not on the show. We think he's off the show. I think he might be. Maybe he's crying or something. Andre McDonald said, this is hitting me hard, Jay. I lost my musical brother and Ohio homie, Kerry McCray, on Monday. Wow. Well, let me tell you guys something. And I say this all the time. If you ain't living, then you're wasting your time. You're wasting the good functionalities of a meat suit. So you got to get busy living. You really do. If you're not pursuing some of the dreams you have, some of the ideas you have, some of the things that you want to do in your life, and people, even if it's traveling, and people say, well, I don't have the money to travel. Well, goddamn it, just travel down the street. Just go drive to other parts of the state that you can get to within hours and just go take in the beauty of Half Moon Bay or Muir Park or one of the little beach cities that still sit in the crest, but don't, or escape in a book, but don't waste your mitsu on misery. A lot of you are wasting your mitsu on misery. You are in love with it. And you've got to be in love with misery to lay in it the way you do, to keep coming back to it. Every time something good happened, you put a yeah, but. Or you say, I wish I could. I just can't do it. Some of you have talents that are talents to other people, but are simple to you. That if you really want to use those talents to generate money, if that's what you need to do what you need to do, you would do it. Most people won't even explore the great parts of themselves. They're very peripheral with their own selves. And that's why most people struggle through life. I don't get it. I don't want to struggle through life. I want to enjoy the life ride while I'm in it, all of it. The one thing I can tell you guys about Ruben Rodriguez, as Ruben Rodriguez lived a great life, I know, because his maid found him. His maid found him asleep, because he had a maid that came to his house every day to clean and cook and do all that stuff. And he went in his sleep. Can't go no peaceful way. Woman allegedly goes on shopping spree after receiving a $150,000 COVID-19 loan. A North Carolina woman was indicted for fraudulently obtaining a COVID-19 small business loan amounting to nearly $150,000 and is accused of using it to shop at Nordstrom's, Neiman Marcus, Louis Vuitton, and other retailers, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Jasmine Janae Clifton, 24, allegedly engaged in a scheme to defraud the SBA by obtaining an economic injury disaster loan, EIDL, based on false information. In April of 2019, Clifton allegedly created a small business called Jazzy Jazz, LLC, an online retail clothing sales business, according to the indictment. And on July 24, 2020, Clifton submitted a fraudulent loan application to the U.S. Small Business Loan Administration, despite closing her business several months prior. Clifton received aid to the tune of $149,900, which was meant to help her struggling business amid the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the news release, however, Clifton allegedly went on a shopping spree with the money. She had it directly deposited into her bank account. Clifton allegedly used the government funds to make purchases at numerous retail stores, including at Nordstrom's, IKEA, Neiman Marcus, Rooms to Go, Louis Vuitton, Best Buy, and other retail shopping outlets. Clifton also made purchases at multiple diamond stores. Clifton was released on bond after appearing in court on Tuesday. The charge of wire fraud in relation to the disaster benefits carries a maximum prison term of 30 years and $1 million fine. The maximum penalty for fraud in connection with a major disaster or emergency benefit is 30 years in prison and a $250,000 fine, according to the department. The Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act, a federal law enacted on March 20th, 2020, 2020, some of the funds from the Act were intended to provide emergency financial assistance to millions of Americans who've been negatively impacted by the economic effects of the pandemic. In April of 2020, Congress authorized over $300 billion in additional PPP funding to businesses impacted by the ongoing pandemic. Subsequently, the Office of Small Business, or the SBA, Inspector General Michael Ware found that it may have distributed billions of dollars to fraudulent businesses claiming financial distress due to COVID-19. The report alleges that the SBA let their guards down in order to expedite the loan approval process and failed to vet illegitimate applicants. To expedite the process, the SBA lowered the guardrails or relaxed internal controls, which significantly increased the risk of program fraud, the report stated. As of July 31st, the SBA approved $14.3 billion in COVID economic injury disaster loans to accounts that differ from the original bank accounts listed on the loan applications. $62.7 billion in multiple COVID-19 EIDLs to applicants using the same IP addresses, email addresses, bank accounts, or businesses listed at the same addresses, and approximately $1.1 billion in COVID-19 EIDLs and emergency advance grants to potentially ineligible businesses, according to the report. So that's 62, that's 76, that's 77, 80, that's $88 billion that they're talking about just in SBA that they know of right now. Reese, did you get an SBA loan?
No, I didn't need it. It's funny, as you were, that's exactly what I was thinking as you were reading that story. I didn't have to take a loan. I thought we were going to get killed just as a moving company, that nobody was going to be moving because of it. Turns out my phone never stopped ringing. During the pandemic, we did gangbusters. People were bailing, getting the hell out of Virginia like gangbusters. So, no, I didn't need to take any loans.
Good morning, Potter. Potter said, great show last night, King. I vote for the Sleeping Panther to do the word of the day. No offense, Reverend Ali. What happened with Jeffrey? And so we told him, oh, no, not Jeffrey. I was a big fan of Jeffrey on the show. He had a message for all of us a few months back that I took to heart. It was Jeffrey that made me taper down on some of the humor I was providing on the show and focus a little more on more serious topics. Going to miss him. Yeah, because he did. Remember that time he cussed us out and told us we wasn't serious enough?
Yeah, I remember. I'm going to say that my favorite moment with Jeffrey was when he kept threatening to kick my ass, and I told him I wasn't going to be threatened by a guy who could be hindered useless by a crack in the pavement. Oh, no, I said it would be hindered, inoperable by an uneven sidewalk. That was my favorite moment with him. But he was a fiery person. You would have never guessed that he was ailing in any kind of way. When he was put into the hospital, even then I still found that shocking. I was just like, damn, really? Jeffrey had his wit about him. It just didn't seem like him. And it's so funny, the stuff that you don't know behind the scenes. I do, honestly. I'm gonna miss Jeffrey. I thought he was fantastic, even when he was arguing and fussing and fighting with me. I really did like him.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was very unique. He was a unique guy. Very unique and open and transparent with his you know, he wore his feelings on his sleeves, you know. And he did talk about dying. You know, he did. He faced it.
Well, I mean, Jeffrey,
he was straight up about it.
Jeffrey knew he was dying. Jeffrey knew, you know, listen, my dad is going to probably die like Jeffrey. Because what happens is COPD, you know, stops you from breathing.
Yes.
You know, my father has COPD. That's why he has to take his breathing treatment every day. That's why he's afraid to go anywhere. You know, he has to have the oxygen when he goes. Josephine said, I loved his voice. You knew when he was talking.
Yeah, he did.
Good morning, Andre Smith. Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, Hilliard. Hilliard Wilson, longtime bass player with Larry Dunn from Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, Hilliard Wilson, Larry Dunn, and Philip Bailey, they all played together. And Hilliard worked with Prince, wrote some songs with him. Great bass player out of Denver, Colorado. Wife is a singer. Yeah. Well, Reese, I think you're going to like this story, Reese. Studies suggest four vitamins to lower risk of severe cases of COVID-19. We've learned a lot the past year about how to fight COVID-19. The latest studies show an arsenal in your medicine cabinet could be quite simple in form of vitamins. We get all types of medical tests to evaluate everything from blood pressure to cholesterol. After dozens of studies have recently showed the importance of vitamin D when fighting COVID-19, Dr. Peter Osborne with Origins Nutrition Center suggests you consider a blood test to check your vitamin levels. I think it's probably one of the smartest things that a person could do right now with an unpredictable role of relatively unknown illness. What we do know at this point about vitamin therapy, particularly about vitamin D, a new study has come out and new analysis has come out on what we know about vitamin D and COVID. So far, here's what we know. People with low vitamin D who get COVID have a greater tendency toward dying, have a greater tendency toward hyperinflammation and the cytokine storm that comes with COVID, and have a greater tendency toward getting on ventilators, which are very bad because ventilators don't work very well for COVID. When a person's on a ventilator with COVID, it's not a good thing. So the outcomes aren't great. So if we can keep people off of ventilators, we can keep their immune system supported really well with nutrition. That ideally makes the most sense, explains Dr. Osborne. He also says the most recent studies show that 9 out of 10 COVID-19 deaths could be prevented if people had adequate vitamin D levels. Vitamin D in our bodies often goes down in the wintertime because fewer people are outside and not soaking it up from the sun. You need at least 20 minutes of sunlight every day to get an adequate amount, which is why a supplement is often needed to get the healthy levels. Some hospitals around the country are even using vitamins as treatment for COVID-19, not just prevention. A lot of doctors are now learning this and coming out and saying it. The East Virginia School of Medicine actually has a COVID protocol that includes vitamin D. So if you're a patient who gets hospitalized for COVID, they're automatically putting you on between 20 and 60,000 units of vitamin D. This is part of their standard of care protocol in the hospital system, says Dr. Osborne. Dr. Osborne believes vitamin D is one of the most simple and affordable ways to help you stay healthy. Vitamin D is very inexpensive. You can buy it at the local nutrition store, and it might just save your life. Should you get sick with vitamin D, there's a therapy that can be done that I recommend. It's 1,000 internal units, IU, of vitamin D per pound. So if you're 100 pounds, you would take 100,000 internal units of vitamin D for 3 days. After that, you don't have to keep taking high doses, but 3 days of high dose of vitamin D will elevate your serum vitamin D levels to adequate levels. If you have a condition called sarcoidosis, Dr. Osborne says this many vitamins would not be safe for you. It's important to talk to your own doctor before taking new vitamin regimen to make sure it's safe for you and doesn't affect your any prescriptions. So, you know, I don't take aspirin, so, I mean, I'm not on medicine. So along with the following CDC health guidelines, he encourages everyone to think of boosting their immune system. Number one, vitamin D. Get your levels up, and you can also ask your doctor to test your levels, a very easy blood test. Number two, vitamin C. We know it's working well. there have been some studies on COVID where vitamin C has shown to have been very good benefits in the outcome of the illness. Zinc stops viral replication multiple ways. So it prevents the virus from hijacking your DNA, prevents the virus from replicating, also prevents the virus from entering the cell. So zinc is very important right now. And number four, quercetin, which is what's called the natural bioflavonoid. Quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, opens up cells in your body so that zinc can get inside your cells where it works. So think of quercetin as the key. Think of zinc as the repairman that is allowed into the house, so to speak, says Dr. Osborne. Some hospitals are treating COVID with all four of those supplements. Dr. Osborne says these are the ones to focus on to cover your bases nutritionally. There are only a few dietary sources of vitamin D, like cod liver oil, fatty fish, and mushrooms that can help you reach the recommended daily allowance, but you would have to eat a lot of it. For more information, Dr. Peter Osborne. What do you guys think about it?
Good information. And that vitamin C, preferably take it, get the vitamin C with the rose hip.
Yeah. It's good to have that vitamin D, man. That can fight COVID, too. If you vitamin D deficient, you need to make sure you're good, man.
What I'm finding out is, and what I'm trying to understand is why is it that all of these doctors refuse to even say anything about ivermectin, even though we know that it works?
We
and
don't know that. We don't
pill.
Know that.
Actually,
right.
We
do.
Don't know that.
200
no,
Congress people before the vaccine came out, Jake King, 200 Congress
know
people
that.
Took ivermectin. Yes, they actually did.
We don't
do
know
that.
If ivermectin worked, Reese, then we would be using it and it would be working. People would be, I'm not going to even get into that with you because I know how you are. So I'm not going to get into it with you because then I have to end up putting you on mute. I don't want to do that today. So we're going to leave it.
I'm just saying that Dr. Pierre Corey treated Congress, 200 members of Congress.
I just told you that this motherfucker.
Better be quiet, Reese.
Now, his ass is on mute. He wanted to be on mute. He got to be. He just, that's what he wanted to do. Don't be coming on the show with that all that bullshit. We don't know that. Now he want me to believe that he's a doctor and shit, and that he's in the study, and he's in the room, and he's there.
But the last time I was on the show, we couldn't even say Reese's name.
Could I say something right here? Am I on mute?
What's happening, Potter?
Okay, there's a book you could buy that is giving
hold
you
on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, Levi. Potter, what's happening? Potter wanted to say something.
No, I just, as far as I'm calling to stay on the topic, I'm not going to get off on any political topics like other
good
people.
Morning,
but, I mean, from what I hear, the vitamins are really important. And I've been hearing about vitamin D for a while as far as COVID. There's been a bunch of doctors that are come out and telling people, load up on vitamin D. And, so this has kind of been out there for a while. It hasn't really been widely reported by kind of mainstream media, from what I understand.
I don't know why they're not saying that vitamins, this is all I ask people to do, doctors to do. When I ask doctors, is there another way that we can deal with this? And they would say, no, there is no other way. And I was like, wow, how can you say that there's no other way? This is the only way. The only way that you guys are telling us is the only way it can be done. And it's a bug out for me because I'm like,
aren't you doing the same thing with even the mention of ivermectin and you say that why they're not mentioning it? That's what I'm talking about.
Ivermectin is that.
I'm not politicizing anything. I just
you
asked
are
why
because we're talking
about
you are
Reese.
We're talking about vitamins. and you want to build ivermectin. Yes. We know ivermectin has been – there's a big political football. It may work. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but it's –
I'm not trying to make it a political football. I asked a simple question.
Yes, you are, Reese, you only know how to make political footballs.
No, J.K., you are the only one who knows how to accuse me of it.
Reese,
I didn't.
What
I'm not making it political.
Is talk about ivermectin. Now you can argue with other people. Now, when you're not on this show, there are no arguments because we discuss things. When you're on the show, we argue because you don't know how to discuss things. So I got to help you learn how to do it. That's why your ass is on mute. Hopefully, you'll learn how to discuss while you're on mute. You'll pay attention to learning how to discuss. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, Reese.
This is about vitamins and the vitamin and the natural remedies that may be available to help people boost their immune system. That's all, right?
Right.
Like, there was a doctor out of the Caribbean who was trying to explain, and he was trying to explain, you know, the whole thing with vitamin D. He said for those who are up north, he said you have to – one of the reasons you get sick in the wintertime is because, you know, lack of vitamin D and that kind of thing. He said also – there's a reduction in oxygen because your foliage, your leaves fall off the trees. They're less. I never thought about that before. He said your environment is not as rich in oxygen as it would normally be in the summertime because your foliage falls off, and that's what gives you your oxygen from the trees. So, you know, he gave a lecture, and he was just talking about these things, that all common sense things that we all know, but it was just refreshing to hear a doctor talk about it, right?
Emmanuel says, should I get the vaccine? Emmanuel, that is a personal choice. I don't think I would not tell anybody that they should or shouldn't get the vaccine. I think that that's something that everybody should explore on their own for their own reasons based on how they feel. You know, it's I got the vaccine because I travel. Good morning, Monkey. Good morning, Lee. I got the vaccine because I travel a lot. And all my bandmates and the people around me had the vaccine. And it didn't make any sense for me to be in noncompliance and put other people at risk or to make them uncomfortable. And so I had to decide, you know, what was more important to me and, you know, and what fight I wanted to take on. And so that's why that's why I did it. I think if you want to do it, you do it based on what you want to do. If you don't do it, you do it based on what you don't want to do. Lee says, everyone that claims their medical theory works are usually trying to make a buck. No one has a clear-cut answer. Listen, I know that, Lee. But you got doctors and then you got people who pretend to be doctors and you have people who play doctors on television and they're all doctors.
It's 30 cents a tablet. Yeah. Please.
What?
I'm not talking about something that costs tons of money. I'm talking about the industry, pharmaceutical industry for that matter, one that we've been critical of on this show and others for decades, making something, and this isn't political, this is what they're doing. They're making something that's in the same ingredients that they're going to sell for $70. Pfizer and Merck are going to make for $70 per tablet. And ivermectin is only 30 cents per tablet. Okay? That's the only reason why I'm asking. Why are they not talking about it? Not politicizing it. I'm done with the conversation. I'll move on.
Okay.
Hey, Jay,
you
know one of the reasons why I don't tell people or even comment on whether people should take it or not? Primarily because I'm not going to be responsible for what happens to them. So if I tell somebody not to take it and they get sick, I'm not paying anybody's medical bills,
I understand
right?
That. That's why I'm not saying
that.
Anything about people taking it, Potter. That's a straw man argument. I said, why aren't they
talking? I'm not talking to you.
It's been used by billions of people.
I don't think he was saying you, Reese. I think he was just talking about, I just asked, a guy asked us if he should take the shot, and I told him, I think that's what.
That should be a. That's between him and his position.
But
I think
that's what Paul was talking about.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. And that's why I don't tell anybody to take it, because if they do take it and then they get injured by it, I'm not being responsible for that. So I have nothing to say on what people do or don't do. I have absolutely nothing to say on that. Nothing.
Well, the
doctor
that
you're going to be responsible either way.
Jay King, the doctor that you had on, the last doctor that you had on who was talking, I can forget his name, but he was the one who was talking about all of the testing that hadn't been done, African-Americans with sickle cell and things like that. Well, the Financial Times just reported that they've already linked the Pfizer vaccine to neurological disorders. And that was the story in the Financial Times, not some right-wing, what's the name, ideologue page. This is the Financial Times. And you can look it up right now, COVID-19 linked to neurological damage. The doctor you had on was 100% right about the testing that has yet to be done, on certain individuals based upon blood types, chemistry, and ethnics, backgrounds. Those things are very important. And again, the reason why I brought up ivermectin and the fact that nobody's bringing it up, it's not about politicizing it. It's been used by billions of people. And it's only 30 cents. It's off. In fact, it's off-label.
Reese,
so that means anybody can create.
Ivermectin, there are arguments. Whatever the fuck it is, okay, there are arguments on both sides. We're talking about vitamins. We're not talking about another medicine. And you know it's a political football. But, what I know about you, you don't give a fuck about what we say the conversation is. You want to do what you want to do. Now, and I got to be honest with you, I don't give a fuck about what you want to do, which makes me put your ass on mute when you start trying to make an argument. Now, I believe Potter even said, look, we don't want to make this political. And then you say, I don't want to make it political, but then you start saying shit that you know is going to make it political. So.
That sounds like you want to make it political, but just put me on mute.
No, what I want to make you understand, motherfucker, is you don't run this motherfucker. That's why your ass is on mute. And so, Reese, what makes ivermectin any better? You're pitching it. Have you taken it? I should allow him. What makes ivermectin better, Reese?
Okay. Again, Dr. Pierre Corey, who has treated members of Congress before there was a vaccine, all right, is a physician. He's peer-reviewed thousands of times. Okay? This guy knows what he's talking about. He's already been on the Senate floor twice. He was there last, December 20th. Treated over 200 members of Congress before there was a vaccine. And he treated them with ivermectin. It's 30 cents. And even mentions it in a Congress hearing that it's 30 cents a pop. And the FDA is in bed with the pharmaceutical companies because they are now calling it a horse dewormer, even though it's been used in humans in over billions of trials, billions of times. That's the only reason why I brought it up. Okay, it's not a political thing. It's the financial thing. The fact that we're all being duped. Okay? So if you don't want to talk about ivermectin because you don't know anything about it, that's also fine. I'm just bringing it to the floor because what we do here is information. I'm done now.
You didn't have to say that last part.
He can say anything. Reese can say anything he wants to. If I were to get COVID, I would want everything thrown at me, even the kitchen sink, said John Beckman.
That's right. And if you saw the Joe Rogan exchange with Dr. Sanjay Gupta of CNN, where he embarrassed him, when CNN was calling it a horse dewormer, Sanjay Gupta had to literally
John Beckman
his own
said
shoot.
I would even take Ivor Beckman's cousin, the donkey dewormer. Monkey said, I got the vaccine because it's not just about me. He said, wow, I didn't know Jeffrey was ill. He was on the show like all the time. Yep. He was spending his last days with us, Monkey. He knew his time was running out. And he chose to run his time out on Kings in the Morning. And for that, I appreciate it. And
as do I.
Yeah, Yusef Kente had to leave the show to smoke his marijuana and on behalf of Jeffrey. And I got to tell you guys, I got to leave here at 9:30 because I have to be at a event at 10 o'clock. So who is going to take over
the history moment?
Reese will.
No. I wish. I know Reese will. Let me get Carter. Oh, hold on. Oh, what? Yusef Kente is back from his weed break. Kente, you okay, man?
You are so funny.
What?
You're so funny because you hit the nail on the head.
I hit the nail on the head.
But that was a – yeah, you hit the nail on the head. That was a – and my power went out. I'm learning
He hit the nail on the head. You hit the weed in the bong.
I love you, Reese. I love you.
I was
but
trying
was
to make
a beautiful
statement.
Song.
Hey, OG.
That was
OG.
A beautiful song you played for him,
yeah.
King. That was wonderful.
Won't you go on and won't you go on and do the history, our history now, if it's okay?
Well, I'm asking Potter if he'll do the history moment.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, no problem. Yeah, he'll probably do it. He's a good guy. He helps the show go further, J. King. You know, you should make him one of the top hosts. You know, he's a co-host.
Well, he is.
He's not a co-host, though. He's a co-host.
Oh, that's just horrible. I swear to God, listen, I cannot take this orgy of dick sucking right now. Give me a minute.
You make the show go on, too, Reese. You do. You make the arguments and all the other stuff go on. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay, you are definitely bipolar.
Am I on mute?
Where the hell does Reese get his information? Dave Smith said, where the hell does Reese get his information?
Listen, Dave Smith, no one, unfortunately, there's a world going on beyond BET. Okay? I'm a news consumer. I'm an information consumer. And I know that you're not of the ilk that would ever watch my show, but just have a chat with John Beckman because he watches my show often enough. And John Beckman will tell you himself, if the stuff that I bring up, I also bring evidence on my show, video and audio evidence of what I'm talking about. So it's not just me.
The only evidence you bring is evidence of people that
the evidence
the information
of the subject
you agree with.
Of the evidence
that's not
of
evidence.
The subject.
That's just saying that, look,
yes,
JK, this is what
I
believe.
Know. For some
this is where I got it from.
My show,
that's not evidence.
That's
JK, not
you
evidence.
Don't watch my show, so you don't
know what you're talking about. It's hard to listen to you right now. That's why I got your ass on mute. Pearl said, I think people better get it while it's free soon. I believe they will jack up the price so high when you really need it, you won't be able to afford it. Good morning, Zoila. Zoila received her trophy today or the other day. I want to give you guys, I'm going to do something that Reese doesn't like. I'm going to do a good story that hopefully that Reese might do for his employees one day. Can you say best boss ever? Because that's probably what Spanx employees are thinking after being gifted 2 first-class plane tickets as well as $10,000 cash by the Spanx founder, Sarah Blakely, following a major deal with Blackstone. On October 21st, Blakely, who's 50, announced to her employees during a work gathering to celebrate the Blackstone deal that she would be rewarding her employees not with just 2 first-class tickets to anywhere in the world, but $10,000 spending money to enjoy the lavish vacation. In a video shared on Blakely's Instagram, the Spanx founder gave an impassioned speech about women navigating the business world and about how she dreamed of one day her company would be worth millions of dollars despite naysayers. I said this company will one day be worth $20 million, Blakely said through tears, and everybody laughed at me. And I said, I really believe that. So I stand here today to think about what we've been able to create and what we've been able to do by being authentic and kind and deliver amazing products to women to use very feminine principles in a very masculine space, which is business, leading with intuition, vulnerability, and all the things that 21 years ago I thought, well, let's just try this and see what happens. And I will tell you, I think it's a really big moment for women. And this marks a moment for female entrepreneurs. There aren't enough women being funded out there. There aren't enough women getting support. Blakely is seen toasting her employees and spinning a globe before transitioning into her big announcement. "Why am I spinning a globe?" Blakely is heard asking as people in the background are heard laughing. "I'm spinning a globe because to celebrate this moment, I have bought each one of you two first-class tickets to anywhere in the world." Cheers erupted following her announcement, and one employee is seen shedding tears, but it didn't stop there. In the video, Blakely is then seen holding an envelope before revealing her second surprise. You know, when you go on a trip, you might go out to a really nice dinner. You might want to go out to a really nice hotel. So with everybody's two first-class tickets to anywhere in the world, you are each getting $10,000. Blakely is barely heard saying before cheers erupted once again. The video then shows employees sharing where they plan to go after receiving their gifts. One team member said it would go toward her honeymoon in Bora Bora, another for a South African safari, and another towards an elopement in Sweden. After Blackstone purchased the majority stakes in Spanx, the company's value went up to $1.2 billion. Spanx was founded in 2000 by Blakely, who became a self-made billionaire after inventing the new generation of shapewear and building the brand into a household name. After developing a full line of undergarments that became must-haves for women seeking smooth and slim their figures, Spanx eventually began offering clothing from activewear to work attire and also offers men's undergarments. What do you think about that story? Isn't that great, Reese?
Hold on. For a guy who often tells me about how much he doesn't give a shit about what I think, you seem to know to me a lot.
I just asked you a question. I'll pass from you to Ali. Ali, what did you think? Wasn't that a great story? By the way, full disclosure from John Beckman.
Yes.
I watched Ed's
show. Yeah, that was a great story.
Thank you. I watch Ed's show when I am three sheets to the wind, so I agree with everything under that condition. Thanks.
Oh, what a liar. You know what? John Beckman never watched that show again. You're blocked. He's blocked.
He's blocked. Lee says Reese is not to trust its opinions of others that Reese approves of. Valcine said, "We just don't watch BET. Damn, Reese. I was riding with you until that stereotype statement." Jeffroni says, "I've never heard of an amazing thing like that in my life." That is amazing. It is very amazing. It's wonderful. It lets you know when somebody who was in that kind of position really cares about their employees. Monk said, "Too bad I turned down that job at Spanx as a cashier." And what do you think about that, Yusef Kente, with the joint down?
He tickled me today. Wonderful story. And I like how your white shadow, which is a phenomenon within itself, followed you to your show last night and asked the very same question that I asked about the Simba Inu coin or cryptocurrency, like he was a brilliant person. The white shadow.
You know, I made the very, very stupid mistake of thinking that Templeton had a bit of integrity. But that display with the whole three sheets to the wind watching my show, John, no offense, dude, but I cannot forgive that, and I'm dead serious. I can't forgive that, and I'm not going to forgive it. Please just stay the fuck away from my show. On the real.
You can't get mad at somebody for saying stuff like that about your show. People say all kinds of shit about shows.
No. That's, hey, listen, I get it. But that, dude, what I was saying was absolutely serious. And that bullshit about, oh, you can't stomach my show, that's fine, Jacob. It ain't for everybody. I ain't making for everybody.
damn sure didn't make it for
of
you.
Of course not.
And I love
I know. That's why
I've never ain't nothing but a henchman anyway, Reese.
Be interesting.
He's a henchman.
No,
maybe
that'll
be my
Shiba.
Word for tomorrow. Henchman.
Shibainu. It's a coin. Jeffaroni.
Yeah, the very same thing that I asked in the morning, which I was ridiculed for. John Beckman brilliantly went and asked to the doctor because it was such a stupid question, I guess, when I asked it. But it was all about speculation. Which
well, didn't
that,
isn't that what
with.
He just displayed? Isn't that what he just displayed, Youssef? He comes on my show. He comments all the time. He watches the videos that I display. He's in agreement. And then he comes over here and completely fakes the funk like, oh, he's three sheets to the wind. He's not in his right mind. And then he turns around and pulls a freaking switcheroo, you know?
Yeah, he's trying to take the funk. It's called doobie in the funk, though. It ain't real funk.
What's that line from I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker? Clarence Williams III says, Whitey is something else.
He's a phenomenon.
Yeah, what's wrong with John, Jay? Why he be fucking
hey,
with us
man.
Like that?
Oh,
is he joking or is that just, is he just like that for real?
I don't know, but I do know this. Reese said Whitey is something else. But Reese want to be Whitey, really?
No, you
don't want to be something else.
Nah, Reese wanted, he went from wanting to be, you know, John Travolta to Richard Barrera.
Well,
Beckman, that's the part that you know is damn well untrue because you know and everybody around you knows. And when Whitey's around, I'll give two fucks about Whitey. Them crackers could kiss my fucking ass. I don't give a shit about
not
Whitey.
True. Not when you was at the resurrection.
Name of Whitey.
The resurrection. When you was at the resurrection.
No, dude, listen to me.
Yeah,
if you really want to talk about it, Jay King.
You went full-blown cracker at the resurrection. We heard
actually,
it.
That's not true. I'll go one more step, Jay King. Who's sitting there running offense for the white man today?
Well,
I'm not
Reese,
running
you did
white
play
man.
A good character
offense.
For
well,
David
then what
Hill.
Are you talking about? I'm talking about John Beckman. What are you
and
talking
saying,
about? Talking about? And you're what? And you're
talking
and you're going
about
coming
you,
after me
man.
To defend him?
You did.
You said
did
I want to be white.
David
you got
Chappelle.
No evidence. You got
you
no evidence that suggests
David
I
Chappelle
want
Reese.
To be white. I ain't never ever said I wanted to be white. You got no evidence of that.
You said it.
That did look.
No,
like
I didn't. You're a liar.
Your friend said that you were whiter.
No. My friends? Dude, you don't count two people as my friends. That's not all my friends. I don't even fuck with those two dudes anymore.
From all the American flags, that I must be someplace important. So let me tell you where I am. I'm in Washington, D.C., at the safest place in America for a black man. It's called the goddamn Trump rally.
That's right. Keep proving my point, Jay King. I love it when you play it. Right into my hand.
Not one black person other than Reese.
Oh, there are other black people there. You just don't see them.
Even though you have a rally, nothing gets burned down.
That's
so
right.
Windows stay in place.
They do.
And everybody shows their love. The most beautiful people in the world are hanging out here. And if you could... There you go. Give a round of applause to yourselves.
Now, I just want you guys to know that as Reese is saying, the most beautiful people in the world are here. There's only one black man in that goddamn picture.
Yeah, I know. Said the racist, Jay King. Said, hold on. Just so you understand, said the racist.
Hey,
there
so when Reese starts
talking
about the white man, Reese, you more the white man than John Beckman.
Yeah, apparently so, because John Beckman gets protected like a black man on this show. You think that motherfucker came from slave stock on Kings in the Morning?
No, no. What I think is this: that bullshit that you do here.
Oh, put
fly.
It on mute.
It flies.
It's all right,
it
buddy. Listen, it's a one-trick pony. You can put me on mute, sir.
Okay. We'll definitely call back having some words about Jeffrey. Okay. What's his name is going to call back. Potter is going to call back and do the
history. Right on, Jay.
Wow, Reese, that is ridiculous. Jay, if you had told me that Reese said that, what he would in the video, I would not have believed it. Reese is confused. Listen. Come on, Dale. That video. You can. All you gotta do is put
in. Oh, nigga, please. Reese is confused. What about that was confusing? What about that was confusing? That a Black Lives Matter protest, shit gets burned down, $24 billion worth of damage.
But
what's
the shit
so fucking
got burned
confusing
down,
about that?
Reese, the very
Reese,
thing
Reese.
That you said wouldn't happen happened.
Everything.
Nothing got burned down at the Capitol. Nothing at the Capitol got burned down. They got broken windows. Please. Again,
you said that word.
We're talking $24 billion.
You
oh,
said there would
it.
Be
okay,
no
Jay.
Broken.
Yeah,
windows.
Jay, I got you.
You said there
all
would
right.
be no broken windows. This is how you have a Trump rally. You said it was
yeah.
the safest place for a black man to be. You were the only one near.
Excuse me. At the Capitol, the two are not mutually exclusive, J.K. At the rally,
you were the only good person. You said where all the good people were. And you were the only
and that's where they
black
were.
Person there.
Still
yeah,
standing by that statement.
You think white folks
hundreds of thousands
so
of people were there, J.K.
You guys see how Reese make my point for me? Reese can say what he wants to about John Beckman. Reese lives it. He anytime he gets a chance to exemplify it.
Well, I see
John
Beckman
said, can we
really
please
is,
refrain
so.
From using the N-word, please? Jeff Roney said, just heard Reese say nigga. I think he just added the A to help his cause.
I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. I mean, please speak up, you
you're
authentic black people.
You really wanted to say
yeah,
nigga,
I don't, I'm not,
but you said nigga.
Yeah, yeah. No. Listen. Don't get me wrong. Ain't nobody over here afraid to use the word nigga.
No, he said that you didn't, that you said nigga to help your
yeah,
father.
Yeah,
you really
I got what he said.
Nigga.
J. King, you're putting a lot of tens on twos. Nobody gives a fuck.
No, Reese, let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm straightening the shit out because you need a straightener on you. Who's calling? The 111. Hello? Somebody call from a 111 number. Take yourself off mute because you're on mute. Anyway, I got 15
Damn,
minutes.
That
I gotta
sound like
but before
that
I get
sound
out of
like
here,
Michael Myers, Jay.
Yeah, that's all right, dude. Yeah. Jeff and I
probably was rich
all the time. That's right. John Beckman said Jeff and I don't use cracker all the time. Jeff Roney said he don't normally say it that way. I know. Jeff, listen. Entire staff at Indiana food restaurant walks off during shift, leaves note for customers explaining why. The entire staff at an Indiana fast food location walked off the job in protest Saturday night, leaving a note on the drive-thru speaker warning hungry customers they were gone. They're the rat infestation. They aren't being paid. And that there are health code violations. WHAS reporter Tom Lally said in a video about what was written on the note from staff, which was posted to the drive-thru speaker at the rally's location in Jeffersonville. Obviously, none of that's confirmed, but what is confirmed is that there are no employees here. All of the lights are still on. The note from Saturday night was signed, the manager who's had enough. We just came here to order some food. No one came to the window, one customer said. We had a lady come through saying they walked out upset about something. The Clark County Health Department told WHAS it will investigate the claims of unsanitary conditions on Monday and noted it previously had issues with the establishment. Our highest priority is the health of our citizens, so we take any complaint of this magnitude extremely serious. It is unclear if the staff ever returned to the establishment. Rallies which emerged with fellow fast food restaurant Checkers in the 90s did not immediately return. I'm going to tell you guys right now, when you guys have to drive through a window and you fucking around with people and you talking shit to them and motherfucker, didn't you hear what I say? And you get me this. And you talking all stupid to them? They might be putting rat shit in your burger.
What you say, Jay? They ain't the only rest of my rat confessed. They all over, huh, Jay? Oh, man, I'm not going to the drive-thru no more.
You guys better leave. No, just be nice to people, Ali. Just be kind to people.
I know, but you said they might put some rat poison or food, a boo-boo, in your burger. So how would they get that, Jay? How would they get the rat boo-boo?
Hey, man, hey, you know, in the rat, you know, it might be rat. They might be saving rat boo-boo for you, you know, just like saving it up for you, the motherfuckers that come and drop the shit. They said, notice how Reese is talking like he's white, and then he comes on this show and tries to act like he's hood.
He ain't hood at all. He got all that from Rosie.
Yeah. You will be. That's right. The booger burger that you may get. That's right. You eat that. Man, that's a good burger. I'll let that motherfucker know.
Now, boogers.
The snot burger. For some snot.
Snot is everywhere.
Put the snot with the mayonnaise, you don't even know. So is that good? Is that okay now? John Beckman said, tomorrow Ed will be a Mexican. It's a miracle.
Eduardo.
Beckman think he's slick. You ain't slick, Beckman. You're not slick at all.
How do Beckman think he's slick? Tell us how Beckman thinks he's slick while I'm getting dressed.
Well, he think he's slick because he says it when you're here. Number one, the burrito, Mexican. I can hear what he's saying. I have ears to hear. Ed's a Mexican. He wants to rehearse what was did before. It's all good, Beckman. When you leave, Jay, I'll go furthermore with it. That way it won't be a power sweep when he got the ball. You got to come around the corner alone.
Keep thinking crazy. You think you're going back to football?
No, you went back to football, brother.
Everybody knows that Jay King is John Beckman's cousin Muscles. That's why he talks this shitty talk.
That's his cousin.
Yeah, he's dear cousin Muscles. They're treating me bad at King's in the morning. And Jay King comes in, he puts people on mute, he starts whipping asses, talking about, you're not going to talk about my favorite white person. You're going to defend him. My favorite white man. That's what he's my favorite whitey.
The phenomenon.
Like my favorite Sarah. Martian. John Beckman is like my favorite whitey.
Mm-hmm. You'd have ran into some lions, Beckman. You messed up. You know you fucked up, don't you? You know you fucked up.
He all right.
You
he
fucked
gonna be
up
right.
When you talk shit, and it was before 9:30. You know you fucked up. 9:31 is coming.
Hey, is Potter still there? Because I know he's going to do the what's his name.
No, he's calling back, sir. Why are you worried about where Potter is?
I'm not worried about that. There's a twist on the question. I asked where Potter was.
Are you missing him already?
No, sir. Worried is what
okay.
I call writers is an embellishment at best, my friend. I never used the
I
word
that
worried.
I thought that was your comrade and you was missing him and you just wanted
Potter,
to know where
you know,
he was at.
It's been said that Potter and I get along. I do not like Potter. With all due respect, I'm not a fan.
You know, well, who do you
no,
like, Reese?
You
who do
Potter
I like?
Only,
it's very few.
Only reason why
very
you're
few
Potter, people think that you two are
in
harmony
nah,
with
that
each other.
would be you, Yusef.
Right,
would
because
be you.
When you two laugh,
yeah,
together,
I don't think Potter and I are nothing
it's
alike.
Really
Potter,
it's an episode out of In Living Color with the brothers.
No, Potter is what
well,
I call
born,
a faux intellectual.
Born.
He's a faux
so
intellectual, that's
that
just
you,
my opinion.
It's so fitting that you guys make a guest appearance.
Don't put
appearance.
Us
down.
We're not two peas in a pod. We're not. We're ideologically very different. Potter's been on my show before. And Potter's what you can call a he's a very moderate person. He
oh,
thinks
yeah.
he's
oh,
conservative,
God.
But he's very moderate.
He's so moderate, he's moist as Duncan Hines.
Exactly. So he's, you know, I almost consider him malleable, for lack of a better word.
He got both of y'all beat on here with our history. Y'all ain't even stepped up to do our history. I think, Yusef, you might have done it one time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. Whoa. Well, let's speak on that one time then. So what did I do it about?
I think you did it about Malcolm X.
Wrong.
Well, who was it about then?
Well, what it does put on display is that your thinking ain't worth nothing.
Oh, well, you know what? 9:31 is coming.
I know that. I know I'm dealing with you.
Yeah. 9:31 is coming, you said, you take.
I know I'm dealing with the rebirth, man, but the phoenix rise out of the ashes, man.
What's going on?
Nothing's going on, to be honest with you. Nothing is going on. It's a bunch of banter about nonsense, to be honest with you. That's all the thing that's going on. But then again, you know, that kind of stuff
we're
gets raided.
We're just jousting in the king's court, king. That's all. I'm just sharpening my double-edged sword, so I'm ready.
I have to go to this this community thing today at 10 o'clock. And
how are we helping the community today, J.K.?
Keeping you on the radio so you ain't out in the streets terrorizing people.
Jay King, it was a legitimate question. Stop being so sensitive. I was really asking you.
I wasn't. I just told you. I'm telling
you. Don't be a dick. Just tell me what you're doing. What are you doing for the community today?
I'm not doing it. I'm just going to an event, and I'm supporting. That's what I'm doing today.
Okay, so what are we supporting today? My apologies. What are we supporting?
Supporting good things in the community.
Okay.
Good people
okay,
doing good
things. There's an amalgam. Okay, then an amalgam of different things. Okay, I thought it was just a specific event for, like, you know, child cancer or, you know, palace, whatever.
Jelena says, calm down, Reese, and let it go, whatever it was. Yousef's got a
what are you talking? Jelena, stop showing up late CP time to every argument.
He was talking shit about you, Jay King.
Ali, I did Fred Hampton, the brother that brought people together.
Jeff Aroni said somebody got up on the wrong side of the bed today. Who got up on the wrong side of the bed today, Jeff
Aroni? I don't even know what you're talking about.
The point is, I never even went to bed. So exclude that.
Oh, he said Yousef. He said Yousef
there you
got
go.
Up on the wrong side of the bed.
I didn't even go to bed. Oh. So guess again. Bring up something else. Who said
that?
Well,
that makes sense. That means you haven't had a good night's sleep.
You know what, Reese?
You gotta stop taking the people in the chat room.
No. I'm sorry. I'm getting this wrong. He said Reese getting up all on the wrong side of the bed. Reese
okay, you know nothing about me. I get up on the right side of the bed every night, or every morning for that matter. I'm always on the right side of the bed. So, you know, that's your assumption. Obviously, you're new to the show.
That's
Jeff Aroni. Welcome aboard.
That's okay.
I know who Jeff Aroni is. Has Jeff Aroni listened to this show before? I'm usually a cantankerous curmudgeon. I'm usually a cantankerous curmudgeon on the show. So maybe Jeff Aroni is suffering from amnesia or something.
Maybe a little bit
of Alzheimer's?
A cantankerous what? I got to get
curmudgeon.
That. Where was that?
Cantankerous curmudgeon.
Is that an upper,
that's okay.
Is
listen,
that an upper New
it
York
is my job. It is my job to teach you Negroes how to speak the English language.
All right. Well, what is a curmudgeon? What is a curmudgeon?
A curmudgeon,
somebody who's grumpy. I got this. Let me get this right. Reese is getting all defensive. Yousef got up on the wrong side of the bed. So, thank you, Jeff Aroni.
Okay.
So, I had it wrong. So,
you did five times, Jay.
Okay. Also, contentious Jeff Aroni, welcome to the show. I'm usually contentious. That's my persona, J.K.
No, defensive. He said defensive.
Oh, defensive. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My apologies. Oh, he said defensive. Let me restate it then. Jeffaroni, welcome to the show.
And what is the right side of the bed, Jeffrey? Or Jeffaroni?
Yeah, exactly.
Or Roni? Or Roe?
Jeffaroni's one of those people who believes that the customer's always right.
Let me tell you
he
guys
likes
something.
Cliche.
If you bought the Shibu coin, when I told you, then your money is doubled already. And so right now, if you bought the Shibu coin when I told you, you could take your money out right now and not worry about it again, or you can let it ride. It's at 6/1000ths of a penny. If it went to a penny, if the Shibu coin went to a penny, I'd have $970,000. No, I'm wrong. That's wrong. I'd have $97,000. If it went to a penny, I'd have $97,000.
That's a nice payday.
For $300 speculation? Jeff Aroni said, if you're telling John he fucked up, what did he do?
Oh, wow. Is that Jeff Aroni or Oni?
Yeah.
Or O?
Jeff Aroni asked that question. Yeah.
Oh,
if
what did he do?
John,
This ought to be like pulling teeth.
Yeah, what did he do? He didn't have to do anything. He's here. Just like you here. And I just went on you. Because you came over here. That's all. You didn't have to do anything. Now what? See? Nothing.
This portion of the Kings in the Morning program is brought to you by Insanity. Get yours today.
Yeah, he's up there defending Beckman. Like Beckman did something right. What did he do right? Jeffaroni or Oni. Sound like an awful
what?
To me.
Subtitles, please. The subtitles, please. He needs. What are you guys talking about? What did you say so I can explain it to him?
Who are you talking to?
Okay,
you.
He
what
was
did
saying
you say?
That. Okay.
Well, you asked me the question if Beckman is wrong. If Beckman is bad, what did he do wrong or something like that? And I said he didn't have to.
What
did he do right? Yeah, what did he do right in order for you to sit up here and defend him? I told you, number one, he came over and followed Jay King, the phenomenon, White Shadow, which is supposed to be dark, but that White Shadow followed Jay all the way to the next show and sat up there and said the same exact thing that he ridiculed me for to the doctor that Jay was talking to and act like he was a genius to talk about it. That was number one. Number two, does he want to hear number two? Well, I just told her, you know.
Do you want to hear number two? Yeah, he want to hear number two as well.
Well, number two, what Beckman did, he got a fan like you. So you the next one that got to be sliced by the double-edged sword, like that statue they sliced in the belly and threw in the bottomless pit.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about right now, Jeffaroni. I'm not sure I understand number one. Can we stick?
It wasn't for you, Jay.
He said he don't know if he understands number one. Can you stick on number one
for
a minute?
Beckman.
He wants to
that
understand number
Beckman
one.
That was for Beckman and Jeffaroni, the two phony motherfuckers.
That's what he said. He said he doesn't understand number one. Can you stick there for a minute and kind of explain it to him?
Put it like this. Those that don't know, and you finish the rest.
Oh, Jeffaroni. Jay King, you're 2 minutes late, sir.
Yeah. Go on about your business, Jay, so this shit can happen.
I wasn't saying that like that.
So we can really let go. I might get muted because I cuss, because you can't cuss with Ali. You see, he said boo-boo instead of shit. You said shit, and he changed it to boo-boo.
Oh, hella funny.
Well, yeah, he did.
I hate to leave you guys, but I got to go. I got to go.
I got muted for cussing. On my show.
Hey, Jay, I'm in here. So
do you know that?
Okay.
Can this know that, Reed?
No, I didn't. On your own show,
yeah.
You can't
okay,
curse.
We're going to do the history moment. We're going to do the history moment real quick. Before I leave, go ahead, Potter, do the history moment.
Okay, so in this episode of American History, we're going to talk about Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman was a scholar whose words inspired Martin Luther King Jr. Howard Thurman was a shy man who didn't lead marches or give dramatic speeches, but Howard Thurman was a spiritual genius who transformed history. Thurman was a pastor and a professor and mystic whose groundbreaking book, Jesus and the Disinherited, was a condemnation of a form of Christianity which Thurman said was far too often on the side of the strong and the powerful against the weak and oppressed. The book revolutionized the traditional portrait of Jesus and had a profound influence on Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s faith and activism. Born in Florida in post-Civil War America, Thurman graduated from Morehouse College in Atlanta, where he was a classmate of Daddy King, the father of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. His impact on the younger King would be profound. Thurman was the first African-American pastor to travel to India and meet with Mohandas Gandhi. He was one of the first pastors to inspire King to merge Gandhi's philosophy of nonviolent resistance with the civil rights movement. Thurman's concepts about nonviolence and Jesus are peppered throughout King's writings. Thurman, though, didn't fit the image of a fiery, silver-tongued black preacher. He punctuated his sermons with long silences and enigmatic phrases such as the sound of the genuine before interfaith dialogue became common. Thurman also worshiped with people of other faiths and warned about the dangers of religious fundamentalism. Thurman's life was proof that all sorts of people could become influential leaders in the civil rights movement. The life and legacy of Thurman is American history.
They say misery loves company. People who are sad.
If you are hearing this today, you are alive. And this is not to say you are in the greatest condition. You may be overweight like I am. You may have an illness or you may be slightly depressed. Or you've recently lost someone close to you. You're no different than anyone else. And although that doesn't make you feel better, how you feel is up to you. Feel good about yourself. Because you can, even through struggles. The goodness of our Lord can overpower any sludge evil may toss your way. And you can either swing on the vines of hell or float in the glory of God and weather the storm. It's all up to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. One love. Today is Wednesday, and at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the J. Keen Network, we got Honey Huss with Stephanie Beard. You check her out. She might be playing the Prince Review, or she might be playing an old song or old show, which you want it, with Michael Gay. You know how it is. Check her out tonight, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the J. Keen Network. And also in the morning, tomorrow morning, 6:30 a.m. to 7:55 live Pacific Standard Time, we have Queens in the Morning, again, with Miss Stephanie Beard and all the other lovely queens. Y'all check them out. They get up early, 6:30. Check them out. J. King, what you got going on? I know you're going to a meeting, but what else you got going on real quick?
Well, today, you know, we got DJ Shelly Shell is in, and we got, you know, Traffic Jams on 97.5 KDEE. And that's it. Tomorrow, you know, I am traveling tomorrow night. So on Friday morning, Ali, you may have to take over because we're going to be in Omaha, Nebraska, Club Nouveau performing.
Okay, no problem. You hear that, Reese?
Get ready.
I don't know what that means. I'll be working. I won't even be available.
I guarantee you, Reese won't be there.
Simi, you can finish talking to us after you get out the bathroom. Because nobody can hear you.
Well, can you hear me now? First,
no, can you get out the bathroom? Just get out the bathroom. Don't think we don't know. That echo is unique, and it's only in a bathroom stall. So just so I know, listen, I can't be in tomorrow. I have a job tomorrow. It's a very big job tomorrow, so I won't be on the air. And it starts at 8 o'clock, and I know I won't be done before the show comes on or even afterwards. So I'd love to, but no thanks. But good luck. Good luck on the show.
Oh, it's gonna be all right. You know, we usually hold
it
down with Jay, dog.
With you at the helm, Ali, I promise you it's going to be something to talk about, without a doubt.
Absolutely. If nothing else, Race, we'll talk about you.
What else you got? Let me be honest. What else do you got?
You know, it's pretty versatile.
That's a sweet picture. I didn't even see that picture.
So, Ali, I missed what I heard what happened with Jeffrey, but I missed any of the details on when this happened or what happened.
His COPD was taxing on him, on his breathing, and his son found him at 4 o'clock in the morning non-responsive, and he passed away in his sleep.
Okay. All right. It's kind of sad. I don't know anybody on here. Like, I've never met any of you guys, Jay included. And so all I have to go off is what I hear on this show. So, of course, I didn't know Jeffrey either. But what I knew about Jeffrey when I first heard him was the laugh. And when I first started listening to the show, I was like, who is this laughing? Every time he laughed, it made me laugh. So a lot of times I'd just be typing in. I'd be working, and I'd be having a rough day. And then when I hear him let out that laugh, I would just bust out laughing. It would just make me feel better.
Right. He had a unique laugh, man, a very unique laugh.
So, you know, that along with just him, you know, trying to stay out of the muck and mire of some of the conversations a lot of times. And, you know, so I always liked Jeffrey. I always said I was a big fan of Jeffrey. I always tell people not to pick on Jeffrey. Jeffrey's off limits. I was like, Jeffrey is Switzerland. He should be off limits.
How did that work out for you?
Well, I mean, there were some comments that were made about Jeffrey that I felt was way over the line. And so
what
today,
did,
I don't wanna bring them up, way over the line? I don't want to bring them up, but I'm sure you guys know which comment I'm talking about today, but I don't want to bring them up. I'll just say,
whose comment was that? Was it when somebody on this show called him shit stain? Was it then?
Not necessarily then. I generally think it was not that. It was a bit worse than that. It was something that has to do with death, but I'll leave that alone for today. But I just think
Whoa, you talking about the comments that I made earlier today?
Reed, can I finish? I just wanna say that I was a big fan of Jeffrey, and you know, he made me laugh a lot. He made me smile and he made me laugh a lot. So that's how I remember Jeffrey. Even though I've never met him.
Well, Jeffrey could take it. Whatever you dished, he could take.
Exactly.
You know, he took it all.
He took it like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeffrey would have appreciated what I said to them.
Jeffrey would have appreciated that. What's going on? What's going on, Lambert? Talk to us, man.
Well, I'm on the road as usual, but I heard something about Jeffrey. I actually was calling about something else, and I'll get to that. I don't waste time, as you know. But I remember I had an encounter with him, and I told him that he should listen to Ice Cube's song, which is Laugh Now, Cry Later. And I meant that. I'm not a person that gets emotional when somebody passes. Everybody's going to get out of here, including me. You better be sincere. But what I really called about was I was going to ask, what's this guy's name? Cotter or Totter? What's your name? The guy talking now.
Potter.
What's your name? Potter. I've been to Canada. I have a question for you. I've been to Canada.
Sure.
Were you born in Canada or did you move to Canada?
I moved to Canada. I moved to Canada for a few reasons, but chief among them was I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've lived in Ohio. I lived in Washington, D.C. area, DMV.
No, listen, because of time. See, I've never really met a black person that was born in Canada. I've met people that moved there. I've met black people who said they're Canadian. But very few black people I've ever met have been born there. So you don't really have to tell me about North Carolina and all that. The next thing I wanted to end with is there's a lady who I want to put a shout out to today. It's a lady. Her name is Frances. I can't think of her last name. But she's telling on Facebook right now, it's showing that social media has been fueling racial divisions. And that should be noted because she's taken a tremendous risk telling that. And she also mentioned about 2 weeks ago, and I have to send a shout out to Mr. Louis Farrakhan Sr., she said that's one of the reasons he was removed, because telling about what she's telling about, but of course they kicked him off. See, you have to have courage to do things. You can't be a coward because it's going to come out. And that's why a lot of children and grandchildren don't respect their elders, because most of them are cowards. You have to have courage. And so shout out to Mr. Louis Farrakhan Sr. for being kicked off of social media, and he's vindicated. So that's all I have to say.
Hey, Lambert, was that Francis?
Right on.
Was that Francis?
No, Lambert dropped the mic. No, he dropped the mic, man. He gone. He said what he had to say and took off. So might have to call him later and ask him.
I think that was important, what he said about social media and fomenting dissent, like, between people.
Yeah.
In the 1990s, there was an algorithm that was made. As a guy working for, I think, the Department of Defense, he came up with an algorithm that would scour the Internet at that time, what was the Internet, and pick up on words. And from just picking up on words that people were writing back and forth to each other, now I'm sure they can do full phrase sentences or phrases. They can determine what the mood of the populace is. And from now I heard it's really sophisticated. Like, they can scour social media and pretty much tell what is the mood of the country. So they can go scour the Internet and say people are talking bad against a certain thing, right? Or let's say the jab or whatever. That would spur them to create articles that goes into the mainstream media, right? So it's almost on automatic. The guy that created the system said that he believed that everybody was psychic, they just didn't know it. And it comes out in their language. So they can actually predict what's going to happen just based on people's sentiment and the feeling, what people are feeling generally throughout a population. It's really sophisticated. And with social media, it's easier for them to do now, much easier.
In other words, they're leaders of the new school.
I guess that's one way to put it.
Okay, so this whole story about these leaked documents at Facebook, unfortunately, is a ruse.
Trendsetters, Potty.
Yeah, the whole story behind Facebook and these leaked documents, there is an inside story to this. The objective of this leak was so that Facebook could be regulated by the government, this administration in particular, so that it can say Facebook wasn't silencing all of these people and they had these secret deals with all of these people, so that if then Facebook is regulated, then the administration can control what Facebook is allowed and not allowed to put up. In essence, by the whole objective here was so they could be regulated by a government. So therefore, the government can then say who and who does not get silenced. If you paid attention to Jen Psaki 2 months ago, she said, and I quote, "We are working with social media to flag any content that is anti-virus or anything that is anti-vaccine on their platforms." Now, for a social media company to be in cahoots with the federal government to flag people's free speech rights on a platform, remember, they're not a publisher. They keep claiming they're not a publisher. For the federal government to be involved with Facebook, saying what can and cannot be put on their platform, they're already being regulated. This is a very roundabout way for the government to regulate Facebook so they can control speech online. Mark my
words.
What
it is, Reese,
Facebook and Google already have a deal with the government that they signed a long time ago. This has been going on for – that's why people call Facebook FBI book.
That's why they came out with Judas and the Black Messiah. They're looking for the ones who are resisting. Once you find them, they're weeding them out. They got to know who is saying no.
But they're slow, meaning they can't really respond
As soon as they go the young people are not even using Facebook anymore. They've moved on to other things, right?
That's right. They moved on to Instagram, which is the new Facebook to them. They moved on. Snapchat is their thing. Telegraph is a new one that's coming up. And a lot of people are leaving Facebook in droves because of the fact that they're now in cahoots with the government. And not only that, they're affecting elections. That's a fact. No one's talking about that. That this whistleblower has also revealed that Facebook is affecting elections. Black Lives Matter was not a movement to be reckoned with until Facebook put their finger on the scale and boosted their notoriety on the platform. That was revealed when all of their secret emails came out. So we know this to be true.
What's happening, you need to get like Cameo and Word Up, because that's what's really happening. Words are moving the masses. And if you say the key word, people will go. You just got to know the key word to say. You got to get into the consciousness of the people. What symbol, what spell will make them move? You got to know the right word. One of them is no. Just two little letters.
I think they're hearing a lot of too many no's.
You put a W on it, and it's now. Say no and now. And then the
N-word.
That's
a real talk.
And then the N-word. Remember, it started with the N-word. Now put a O on it, no. Now a W, now. Or you end up where? Compound word, nowhere.
Hey, Youssef, I should have did Gil Scott Heron today. I keep forgetting.
Well, Gil Scott Heron, for the history moment. Yeah, Gil Scott Heron, beautiful person. I love the brothers like Lambert and his generation that turned me on to Gil Scott Heron. This ain't really life. Ain't really life, ain't really nothing but a movie. I told you to get your sunglasses and popcorn when the shit started. The debate was, do you like artificial butter or not? Are you going to be organic?
Well, I think one of the things is here in Canada, they're getting some small wins, but the government is more and more oppressive. So if you're Canadian, like for me it doesn't apply because I'm American, but if you're Canadian and you don't have, if you don't do what they say, they're pretty much saying you can't get on a plane to get out of it. And you can't go drive through the border because the U.S. just said they're going to open the border, but only to Canadians. The Canadians coming through, they're only going to open the border to Canadians who are, you know, double whatever, right? And they really, if you don't have to have after, I think, November 8th or something like that, if you don't have it, I think what they're saying is you can't leave unless you leave by private plane or some other means. But you can't leave. You can't get out of here. You can't get out of Canada by plane or by car, I guess. It's crazy. You're a prisoner of Canada, actually.
A watered-down version of America. Only thing, you know why? Because Canada ain't got the niggas. They ain't got to deal with the niggas, them nigglets. The nigglets. Them American niggas. The ones. Them the ones.
Them the ones
everybody got to deal with.
Canada is much further along than the United States. The United States was always going to be the hardest to bring under control. It was all
that's what I said. They got the nigglets, man.
Yeah.
In other words, Potter, America wasn't even going to stop the slave trade unless it was the pressure from people like Canada, like other European countries who knew that America was on a rampage with the shit. They didn't give a fuck. It was politics back then that made America really stop. Just like it was the media that made South Africa stop what it did because it was getting around to America. Niggas here were seeing what they were doing in South Africa. Them nigglets. They're trying to keep them nigglets from coming together.
So the two countries to pay attention to see what they're going to try to do to the United States, two countries, Canada and Australia. Those are the two countries. And it's interesting, Canada is right next door, but there's news in Canada about the U.S. that the U.S. people don't even get. One of them is, and I bet you guys didn't know this, they reported up here last year that the United States will eventually, it's going to take them a little while, the United States is going to be getting rid of the penny, right? The penny is going away. The penny in Canada went away years ago, and they reported that the United States was going to be following suit then, and they just reported recently that, yeah, they're still on track to try to get rid of it. And when I talk to people from the United States, it's not a big story, but they're like, we didn't know that.
How did the penny go away when J. King just made money on a penny?
it went away in Canada. It went away in Canada. But not,
no,
not
you said it's eventually, yeah. You said, and
yeah.
Eventually
yeah.
It's going to go yep. away.
Yep, that's
so,
what's being reported in the United
so,
States.
So, yep. Well, what it's going is crypto. It's going into the ethers. It's going into the digital world. That's where it went. It ain't nothing but a, why is it a different color? Maybe it was all, as Jay would say, speculation that it would be like this. Maybe the speculators then knew that this world would be like it is now because they speculated. Maybe they knew that the penny would be the first to go extinct, like you just said, and move it into the digital world.
Just remember this this term, CBDCs. Heard about it a couple years ago, and I knew it was going to be trouble. Central bank digital currencies. That's the one. If you start hearing that, that's where the trouble is going to start.
It seems like everything is becoming invisible.
Yep.
And that's the new normal. And pretty soon, you're going to see people leaving Earth, going up, up, and away because you're vaccinated and you can catch a ride in space. Beaming in, that's why they got Captain Kirk, to make you, it's because it's going to fuck with your head. It's going to make you think, oh, this is surreal. Oh, look at, we're beaming up. Even Captain Kirk said, it's a wonderful thing in my life. You have showed me something that I was showing the people in the 60s that was real, but you showed me what's really real, Elon. And people go follow behind that shit, and you go evaporate from the earth, just like that motherfucking, what they call it, that Arctic atmospheric river. You're going to be caught up in that water when you perish in the flood, just like in Noah's time. It's going to be water coming from everywhere. I'm planted in the water. I walk on water. It don't scare me.
Well, fellas, we got 1 minute left. And we'll have to come back tomorrow morning. My name is Rev Ali. We got Yusuf Kente, who you've been hearing. We got Potter, who did our history. We got Reese, who hung up. We have Timmy Braxton, who's still here. And we had Johnny Davis and Lambert that called in. Much love to Jeffrey again. You know what I mean? We're going to miss that dude, man. And much love to all the hosts that called in today, man. Appreciate y'all too, man. Especially you, Kente. One love.
Especially you, Hitler.
The J. King Network, where the people come together. The J. King Network, where the people come together. The J-King Network, where the people come together.
out of here, y'all. Y'all have a good one, man. I'll be ringing your phone, Yusuf Kente. Pick up, man. Pick up.